This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. I am feeling the love right now. I mean, first of all, it's the holiday season. But second of all, I just want to express gratitude to our listeners. This Sunday, we had a great meetup in Brooklyn at our favorite place, the Black Horse Tavern, with listener Gavin Doyle. He's a Patreon subscriber, hails from Ireland. Got to meet him and his lovely girlfriend, but just got me thinking about how lucky we've been with the Always Cheating Pod. I think you echo these sentiments, right, Josh?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, from one end to the other, we've had great meetups with guys like Nick Wright, Jeff Petter, Rick Sito recently. We've got great Patreon subscribers. But I really want to just thank all of the people who we never come into contact with who listen to Always Cheating, which is the vast majority of the people out there listening right now. we talk a lot about the December pledge drive that we're in the midst of. And all that said, I don't want to miss thanking all the great listeners out there who just tune in weekly for Always Cheating as part of their FPL routine. So that's my screed. I just want to welcome everyone.
It's like you're Scrooge and you've been visited by three ghosts or something. It's a good Christmassy way to start this podcast, Brandon. I'm not feeling very much in the Christmas spirit right now after I had two bad game weeks stuck into 5 days or whatever it was. I guess it was a full 7 days of bad weeks. Because it started last Tuesday and it finished today on Monday.
That sounds like a Judd Apatow movie. 7 days of bad weeks.
7 days. Yeah, it was not awesome. And I think I went on a little bit of tilt. I think I went on a little FPL tilt last Thursday. I burned four to drop Azpilicueta. I turned him into Christensen, and then I turned Fabianski into De Gea, which I think cost me, I think it was 9 points that I just straight up cost myself by doing that move. Yeah. So that has me like in a little bit of a state.
How are you to predict? It is very poetic in an FPL way that Fabianski gets the penalty save against Wayne Rooney the week that you burn for to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's horrible luck on my part. It makes me feel kind of ill because I hate making a goalkeeper transfer to begin. Like, it's going to take me like 15 weeks to like actually get like to amortize that cost now. You know, it's frustrating.
I hear how it's frustrating for you, and it is an interesting way to look at it. I think you think burn four to get De Gea in for Fabianski, great long-term move, right? It's an easy set-and-forget keeper, but the 9 points from Fabianski, yeah, you're right. It's going to – I don't think people think about it that way, where it's going to take you like a month just to get back to – square one
for to even out exactly if it ever does, you know. And so it was I mean, and if Man United had not conceded at home, it would have, it would, you know, wouldn't have been quite so painful. But You know, Nemanja Matić said it'd have, you know, a couple games a year. He just kind of blows it for his team.
Yeah. They were away from home against West Brom.
Yeah, but they were dominating that game, and then they just kind of, you know, stopped paying attention on a set piece and
conceded a stupid goal. Watching that goal happen basically in slow motion, you just see the ball for a single moment. It's like none of the bodies were moving, and the ball is just 1 yard outside of the goal, and everyone's standing there, and Gareth Barry just basically kicks it, just has to put a toe out.
So it was just, you know, if there's like a theme to our podcast this year, especially, you know, our 100th episode where you asked a bunch of people for advice, the theme is really to be patient with your team. And not rush to burn points and like wait players out, wait out there. It's actually funny because we're going to talk in the podcast about who to hold and who to drop. And, you know, I think patience is a word we're going to use a fair amount. I think there are some players that we definitely are looking to drop. But I think, you know, you should really almost never burn four on defenders. It almost never. I mean, Okay, you can look at it like through a long-term lens, but you are almost definitely going to lose points that game week. Sure. And you should always try to, you know, avoid it if there's an alternative option.
Yeah, there are caveats there with suspensions or injuries where maybe you need to field a full 11 you have to burn four.
Sometimes it's you're almost better off just fielding 10, if you don't think that you can do it. Yeah. Or you don't think you can actually make the cost back. So it's just, and now, unfortunately, you know, Tarkowski, it looks like he's going to get suspended for a couple of matches. Charlie Daniels is injured. Kolasinac is out of the rotation, and Steven Ward is injured. So suddenly, I was like 18K in the world a week ago, and now I'm like I'm at 60K, and four of my five starting defenders are injured. And it's like, what just happened? So it's Christensen, Tarkowski, Ward, Kolasinac, and Daniels.
Okay. Well, the best one there is the one that's healthy and ready to start. So I guess that's a little silver lining for you.
I guess so. Yeah. So now it's like, do I burn four and two defenders again? I just know it's not going to work out. And, you know, especially if I burn four to bring in even someone like Otamendi, I'd be nervous about because, you know, just – I feel like there's a little bit of rotation risk there. And I know that some people will say there's just no chance at all because, you know, company is injured. But, I mean, come on. We're like, look at the manager we're talking about here. Of course, there's always a rotation risk there. So I really don't know what to do right now. I'm kind of I'm just going to wait until Friday. Just going to – whatever point hits come or, like, drops. I think Kolasinac is probably going to drop in the next day or two. I'm going to take those hits and I'm going to wait until Friday and, like – you know, let all of the League Cup matches play out, let all the press conferences come through. Maybe Ward is back by this weekend. If so, it's not nearly as much of a problem because I would probably have started Ward at home anyway, even to Spurs. So then I would just need to just make one defensive transfer, which would be a lot easier to stomach. So yeah, anyway, that's my like mini rant there. How was your game week, Brandon? You had two good ones in a row, right?
Yeah. So your fortune goes this way, and mine seems to go the other way. So my second green arrow in a row. I had a game week rank of 511K, and that's the best game week rank I've had since game week 7. So I'm feeling really good on 71 points. I held my transfer again this week, no transfers, and I put the armband on Hazard, and you know, in hindsight, there were a few better options. I actually vice-captained Roberto Firmino, and that was just sort of it's easy to do something cheeky like that with a vice-captain and say like, oh yeah, I mean, I knew Firmino was going to have a great game, that's why I vice-captained him. No, I knew Hazard was going to play, and it didn't really matter. But Firmino getting three bonus and the goal and assist really took my game week to the next level, and that was great. It really counteracted people who held Morata and ended up with the 1 point cameo. I'm still very nervous about long term how Morata plays against Firmino, and I think Morata is at least going to get even or do better than Firmino at the long term. So Firmino feels still short term in a way, but Calvert-Lewin, my favorite art project, as you're fond of saying, which you're now on board with, gets yet another goal. Three goals, six assists on the season. That feels good. And then Kevin De Bruyne, my sometimes albatross, sometimes trophy-hoisting hero of my team, comes away with another goal. And That was the scariest point of the weekend, was when Dele crushed Kevin De Bruyne's ankle, and it looked like, oh, that could be a season-ending injury there. But De Bruyne just decides to get up and lace a shot straight through Hugo Lloris. So that was great.
You and I were debating that one a little bit yesterday at the bar, and we were watching matches. And I just, what I don't like are people on Twitter or wherever who just throw out words like disgrace. And they're like, oh, the alley tackle was a disgrace. He should be shot and murdered. It's just like, all right, calm down. It was a very heated match. They were losing. He's having a tough season. He probably didn't need to step on him as much as he did, but De Bruyne was fine. Everything's fine. Let's all just move on with our lives. I don't really want to debate how big of a jerk Dele Alli is for the next week. That is just a boring conversation that I just don't really care about at all. So
one of the most interesting post-match interviews from the weekend too was De Bruyne after that match, and the interviewer asked him about the tackle from Dele, and it just showed you how absolutely dialed in De Bruyne is this season. It is only about the results for him and about the team. He said, I don't care about the challenge. It was a football game. Sometimes that happens. It's very things move very fast.
Right.
And he takes a different tone if he's actually injured from that. But I just found it very interesting. He's just having an out of this world season. And it's one of those seasons that sort of, not to wax on too much about De Bruyne, but it's one of those seasons that defies FPL. He appears above and beyond the best player in the league right now, but that is not necessarily translating into the best FPL asset right now. Flash to Raheem Sterling. And this is another discussion we had, Josh, where I was feeling great when De Bruyne scored that goal. And I've been waiting for De Bruyne to become that differential in the midfield, that big premium differential. Then Sterling ends up with his brace in the last 10 minutes of the game, as is his wont. And that just totally counteracts the 10-point differential that I'm striving to get from KDB. So it was a very mixed bag, City result.
We were going to talk about this later, but I'll just move it up right now, and we'll just do a little mini version of it. But, Sterling gets his second goal, and I'm looking at on a new PLA and checking the points as they come through, and realizing that Sterling yet again is going to deliver multiple attacking returns with no bonus points. And I just sort of toss off kind of, I forget now that we have a lot of Twitter followers, It used to be a couple years ago, I could just toss off personal stuff on the Twitter account that no one responded to or noticed, and it was just a way for me to let off a little steam,
Basically so you were sending me a text message.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I often do. I'll just if I'm in a bad FPL game week, it's everyone's getting messages about it. I'll text my wife, I'm just everyone, I have to get it all out of my system. So anyway,
don't come home. I need space.
Yeah. So I say something yet another brace with no bonus for Sterling. It's actually the second time it's happened this year. I said, the FPL bonus system must be reformed this summer. And of course, all of Twitter came down on me immediately. And some people did agree with me, I will say. Mm-hmm. Chief FPL Hints, he was there with me. So I got a couple of lone people out there who were sort of,
Chief was probably just feeling sorry for you getting piled on, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a great, great Twitter account, by the way. If you're not following at FPL Hints yet, you definitely should.
Oh, for sure.
Pretty funny, too. So anyway, even someone like James Eggersdorf responded to us, and his response to my tweet got three times the likes that my tweet did.
Insult to injury.
Yeah, he was very respectful. He was just I disagree for this reason. He missed a bunch of chances, and I thought it was completely fair. But so I sort of opened it up, and then it sort of became this all day. There was this long discussion. If you want to go back and look, if you're obsessive enough to do this, I recommend it, because a lot of people who are just sort of big FPL voices end up talking about this, and there's really no consensus. My feeling is just that attacking players get punished in the bonus point system. Mm-hmm. And things like miss big chances, to me, you know, a ball rocketing at Sterling, you know, off a penalty miss is not necessarily a big chance because he's got to do a lot right there, right? He's got to, like, basically volley it back in.
Things that look very simple when you're watching on the television, if you're on the field, you know, despite being one of the highest paid professional footballers in the world, still freaking hard.
Right, exactly. And I do buy the argument that it rewards, you know, stuff that you can't really, like, it's a way to reward players who are doing things that are behind this, like, sort of behind the scenes, if you will. But I also feel like it's a fantasy game and it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. And I think that if you wanted to reward that stuff, Peter Blake had the suggestion that you just get rid of any bonus points for goals. It's like those things are already measured in the game, so you just eliminate them from the bonus point system.
Yeah.
And then that would really put a premium on players like N'Golo Kanté and even like just deeper creative players, you know, someone like Fernandinho maybe.
Let me take it one step further. Again, do away with bonus for the attacking returns. Those are, as you said, Josh, already rewarded. But then you're basically feeding scraps to the defensive midfield tacklers. And why don't you just actually serve actual FPL points to? It's like a goalkeeper gets 3 saves.
Yeah, right?
That's their job. They're doing it well. They get a point. If N'Golo Kanté makes 3 tackles in the midfield, give him a point. Don't give him, you know, 30 BPS with the hopes that nobody scores a goal and maybe he filches a bonus point. That right now, I think...
Filches.
Right now, I think
yeah, I agree. I actually think that's a great idea. They should definitely do that. Like, I 100% agree.
Right, because I think right now the debate is bonus points exist to reward players that aren't already getting FPL returns, but it's sort of like nobody is winning in the current state of the BPS. Like, more often than not, the attacking players are still coming out with the bonus points. And, like, very rarely does it truly reward people who... It's not encouraging anyone to bring Nemanja Matic into their FPL team.
Exactly. Nor is it really affecting your decision on who to... Like, if you're looking at... Like, the times when a player who gets more bonus points than another player would be a huge, like, factor in your decision-making, it's very rare, right? It's like maybe you're looking at 2 different, you know, center backs on Tottenham Hotspur, right? And you... Like, everything else is equal, price is equal, you know, goal threat is equal, whatever. And then, like, I'm, you know, like Davinson Sanchez and Toby Alderweireld, right? Let's say they were the same price. I think that Toby is a little more expensive. Like, maybe then you're like, who's been getting more bonus points? It doesn't really make a huge difference a lot of the time. So, you know, I mean, I think you could argue for just scrapping it entirely. However, the more I thought about it, the more
counterpoint.
I realized, yeah. Well, the game is just really so many of the elements of this game are not geared towards the obsessive fan. They're geared towards the casual player. And I think ultimately the reason that we have bonus at all is it's a little bit of fun.
It's another game. It's a game within a game, right?
Exactly. We all love tracking bonus points. It's a lot of fun. And I think it could be reform. I just don't think you should punish anybody. I think that there should be no negative things in there. Like, I don't like the way that if a defender makes a, you know, calculated yellow card challenge, right, to stop another player from scoring a goal, like they lose bonus points.
Yeah, or an unsuccessful take-on from a striker, and that like Luis Suarez style loses out on BPS because he's trying to do something positive, but he gets tackled, you know,
exactly
20 times because he's going at the defense so hard.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez gets dispossessed all the time too, and it's because he's trying to do creative things. He's trying to score. You know, granted, he should probably try to set up his teammates more often, but that's a different conversation. yeah, I think that, and shots off target to me are just, that's a sign of aggression. I mean, there was a moment in today's match where Calvert-Lewin had a shot off target, and I was like, well, there's his chance at a bonus point, right? Because, you know, he was trying to score and off a corner kick or something, and it ricocheted off, and now, like, there's no chance because he's, you know, the system's going to punish him. And it's kind of silly. So I think that's
why you need to play starting 11, Josh, which gives you points for shots off target.
That's very true, Brandon. Yeah. All right. So let's,
Let me put a button on that to say the only reason we're having this conversation is because you had Raheem Sterling and he didn't get bonus points. So
two matches in a row, though. And, you know, it was kind of, because he got two assists in the Swansea game, too, and that kind of. But anyway, just it got my goat. I wasn't really that upset about it, but I just it was, you know, I was letting off a little steam on Twitter. It led to a very interesting discussion. So if you want to contribute to it, if you have thoughts on the bonus point system, let us know. Maybe we'll try to like email the fantasy website or whatever. We've tried that before. It hasn't really worked, but
it will never not be an interesting discussion to have bonus points. It's a bit like, you know, public health care. Like it will never be a perfect system, but we will constantly be pushing for reforms.
Yeah,
in the hopes of making it perfect for everyone out there.
I had like a double bonus point idea too. Like make the bonus, like get rid of all the bonus, like all the points for goals, assists, things like that. And now bonus points are 2, 4, and 6 instead of 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And then you'd really want players like Angelica. But I just don't know then. It feels kind of stressful to like watch every match and like follow their completion percentage and take-ons. Yeah. And like maybe I'm already too obsessive. Maybe I don't need to watch like every single pass that now gets completed.
Let's call it the double Jeopardy chip, where in which you enter the second round of Jeopardy where all the points are doubled. Exactly. All the bonus points that you collect. Ooh, that
like
game
the second half of the season or something like that.
Yeah. I'm wondering, speaking of Jeopardy, what a cool chip where, you know, if you get the daily double on Jeopardy, you can actually wager points. If you could play the daily double chip in FPL and you could actually take a certain number of points from your game week score and bet them that a certain event happened. Well, I'm really off the rails.
That's just
here.
Like a straight up gamble. Yeah. All right. So we have tons of stuff to get to. We're going to start cutting stuff now. Brandon, before we get into, I don't even know, part two of the podcast, let's quickly talk about our Patreon pledge month. December is pledge month. If you have been waiting to support the podcast, do it this month. Please. And do it for yourself though too, Brandon. Not for us. We don't need this. You know, we think it's great.
We do this for the love, and as I said at the start of the pod, we do it for everyone who's listening.
Exactly. It was funny actually, because someone asked me recently, they were like, "Well, how many of your Patreon supporters have you met in person?" And I was like, I have never even, like 80% of them, I've never even seen their name on Twitter or on Facebook. It's just someone out there who's listening who was generous enough to support the podcast. So anyway.
So if that's a concern of yours, if you feel like if you become a Patreon member, you have to interact with us, that is false. You don't have to come into contact with two weirdos who have a podcast. You can just help support the pod.
Exactly. Okay, a couple Patreon things here. I'll try to do this quickly. First things first, though, congratulations to Mike DiPietro, a Michigan native, Brandon, who won the Always Cheating Survivor League. Happened over the weekend. It was pretty dramatic.
Congrats, Mike.
Yeah, I think the other two managers had Burnley. And so when they had Watford, actually. And so when Watford lost,
I would have been feeling pretty good about that Watford pick.
Yeah, I would have felt very good about that Watford pick. So Mike is going to, as the winner of the Survivor League, we're going to invite Mike onto the pod. Keep your eyes peeled or your ears tuned in or whatever for that. Brandon, we have new buttons. Two new buttons.
New swag. Yeah, we made buttons for our top tier showstopper level Patreon members. You can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/alwayscheating. Check out pictures of these buttons. The first one just says "Always Cheating." It's enough for you to show your love for the podcast. But it looks really cool. It's in this great yellow and deep blue color. Look very smart on your lapel, Josh.
Yes.
And the second one is our homage to that great moment in which Mario Balotelli pulled up his jersey to reveal his shirt that says "Why Always Me?" And I just had this thought, of course, of branding, of marketing. And so this button is an homage to that shirt. It says "Why Always Cheating?" And I think it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And my wife actually, so she met up with us. We met up with Gavin and his girlfriend on Sunday. And as we were leaving the bar, she put one of the buttons on, and she had this like nice camel hair jacket or whatever. And then it just says this button that says "Why Always Cheating?" And because we live in Brooklyn, I was like, oh, like this is like totally like people are going to think this is like part of the Me Too movement, you know,
hashtag
like
Me Too.
So the women speaking out against harassment, which is, you know, totally legit. But I was like, it looks like I've been branded. Like it was like my scarf. Like I had to walk around with her with that button on.
Well, day. Or like, you could look at it this way. You can wear this button that says "Why Always Cheating?" And it's sort of like you're an FPL fanatic hiding in plain sight. People don't right. really know what it means. So they'll they just won't even ask you about it.
They just think we're very mad about cheating, you know, spouses and Congress people and stuff like that.
All right. So the buttons are there for the Showstopper level at Patreon. What else do we have there, Josh?
We also have our new Slack, which we're enjoying very much. It's a lot of fun. I'm so glad we thought to create one, and it's a lot of fun, and a lot of really good conversations out there. The rant and rave thread has provided me a lot of sustenance over the last few days as I struggle with my team. It's just good to get it off your chest a little bit. And then so you can join that at the mid-tier level or above. Also at that mid-tier level above, we're starting a second half league. So if things are not going well for you right now, join the second half league. It starts in game week 20. Once game week 19 starts, I'll be able to start that league up, and I will start sending invites out to everyone who's at the mid-tier level or above, and any new managers too. So you don't. If you join any time up until then, we'll get you into the league. And we'll actually, you can even join later on, and we'll still we can still add you to that league, and your points will just start in game week 20.
Great. So just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to find out more about all those perks and help us cover the cost of doing this pod every week. We've got hosting fees, website fees, all that stuff that we need your help to cover.
Lastly, mailing costs.
Yeah, exactly. Lastly, let's just talk about Cheat Codes, which is our weekly e-newsletter that we just launched. It goes out every like Thursday evening, Friday morning, and you go to our website, alwayscheating.com, and there is a place for you to sign up. Just plug your email into the field next to Cheat Codes or click the newsletter tab and punch in your email, and you'll get this email for free every week in your email. It's the latest news. If we missed anything recording an early podcast and something's happened midweek, maybe it's the cup fixtures coming up, Champions League, or just news that we thought was interesting heading in to the next game week, it's going to be right there in Cheat Codes. We also have Always Cheapies, which is our starting 11 lineup that features teams all from not the top six clubs. So if you're looking for a differential, that's a good place to look. So Cheat Codes, it's a lot of fun. It's a quick little read in your inbox at the end of each week. And alwayscheating.com.
Yeah, you can subscribe it on our website. Always Cheating Super League, Brandon. We have a new number one, a new number two, actually, as well, I believe.
Bam.
Let's start with number 10, Crazy Coutinho, Prakhar Patel. Is in 10th, Yogi's Picnic Basket. Jürgen Regenberg is in 8th, excuse me, is in 9th. Berbischoff, Andre Bergstrom, a fixture in the top 10 this year, is in 8th. The Art of the Dive, Marco Ryan, is in 7th. Two-way tie for 5th, Scott Powell's Enter Shaqiri and Andrew Ferguson's Two Girls, One Schlup. Two more fixtures, Brandon. We got a lot of fixtures still. Like, people have, like, it's a lot of pressure. You know, you get in that top 10, it's like, you can't have game weeks like I've had the last couple. You gotta stay tough.
Now we gotta drain the swamp. Get these guys out of here.
D-Boy United is in 4th. Football Friend FC, Nick Tuthope in 3rd. And then in 2nd is Bob Fascio, Abdul Hudson. And then number one for the first time, I believe, is 420 Fedora Fanatics. That's Will C. 65 points in the game week, 1,119 points overall, and is ranked number 141 in the world. Well done, Will, and well done to everybody in the top 10.
Never too late to sign up for the Always Cheating Super League. Just head to alwayscheating.com, click the league tab, and there's an auto join button there. We're over 2,500 managers now in the greatest league in all the world.
Brandon, let's skip the rants this week. We've already ranted long enough. Let's take a quick break, and then we get back. We're going to talk about high-priced players who are not performing well and whether we should keep them or drop them, right? And we all
I was not aware there were any premium players not performing up to snuff. This is news to me.
This is news to you. I know, exactly. You thought you could just Captain Kane every single game week this year and you'd be fine.
Yeah, it's Calvert-Lewin or nothing for me. All right, we've got lots to talk about, so we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Great. Same old podcast,
always cheating. We're back, Joshua, and as you said, part one, we're calling this Should I Stay or Should I Go Now? It's our tribute to The Clash, I guess. It's also a tribute to Harry Kane. We have a question from Graham on our Slack channel. He says, how does one pronounce Kane Exit? It says Kane and Exit, portmanteau style. Also, James Bishop asks, can we now drop all premium strikers? Finally, can I sell Kane? So there's a whole conversation here to have about premium strikers. You made the point before we started recording, Josh, that if you're out there and you're sitting with a forward line of Aguero, Lacazette, and Kane, or Aguero, Morata, Kane, that's more than £30 million of your budget, and you're getting about 1 point per 10, 11, 12 million pounds. That's not really sustainable long term.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one thing that's interesting about Kane this year is he only has one assist so far in 18 game weeks. That's a lot. It makes you think about just how much. I mean, the guy still has 12 goals on the season, you know, a perfectly reasonable return for the first 18 weeks of the season. I mean, that's a goal every, two out of every three games he's scoring a goal. Hasn't it really worked out that way because he's had so many braces, but that's how it evens out anyway, or averages out. But yeah, he had seven assists last season. He had seven assists two seasons before that. And it does seem like it's really, I just think that Alli is the one who's really, Dele Alli doesn't want to use the Alli anymore. So let's try to say Dele as much as possible.
Dele.
It makes you, Dele's decline this year and whatever's going on with him. I mean, I'm sure it's just that he's like young and he's got his head turned and, people like Real Madrid are talking to him now. And
he doesn't know his place in this world.
Yeah, exactly. And
he's a bit like a Kylo Ren, I feel.
Right. And he sees guys like Raheem Sterling making like probably three times his weekly salary.
Yeah.
And just thinks, can I go? This is all me like speculating. I mean, none of this has come out, but I wonder if that's happening. I mean, do you remember when you were 22, Brandon? You were making millions playing professional football, right?
I was, yeah, and I found it quite easy, frankly, and it was also easy for me to walk away. I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't love playing as much as I love the fantasy game.
When I was 22, I was a moody dork, and I was I was inclined to long spells where you just didn't want to talk to me because I was so unpleasant to be around.
I was debating whether or not I could afford cable at that point.
exactly. You had to get the apartment complex that had the cable built in. That was the trick.
No, just watching Spurs against Man City. I mean, Man City is a total juggernaut, obviously,
sure.
But Spurs were completely humiliated and dismantled. And this has been, it was a performance more on par with what we've seen this season than, like, their match against Huddersfield, where everything was clicking and Kane looked unstoppable, is the outlier. And we've just been waiting for them to get back there, and it's tough. I mean, Dele Alli is a problem, but that whole team is just out of sorts.
Yeah.
And it is only the double game week that we can talk about coming up with West Ham and Spurs, where I say you've got to hold Kane. Like, there is no selling Kane if you currently have him, because if you sell him now, the likelihood of you getting him back for that double game week without performing some amount of surgery on your team
is -8, a -12, something like that.
And I don't know how silly it's going to look a month from now, us saying, well, you got to hold him for the double game week. But right now, I just don't see any way around that.
I think that's just common sense. There's not a lot of great alternatives either. I mean, it's not like, have Sergio Aguero, who is just, banging them in every game week. Or, Kane to Lukaku is the obvious transfer. I think that's the one that some people have already done. And honestly, if you did it 2 weeks ago, more power to you. I mean, looking back, I don't regret not dropping him. I mean, they were about to play Brighton, and he was coming off a brace in the Stoke match, So, he's only he's 2 weeks removed from a 13 point, point haul, or 12 points, I guess. The Brighton match, but they've really struggled at home against teams that are really set up defensively. And, They can't break it down. And that's where I really think that Alli is the problem. I mean, this is more of like a general football talk than a fantasy discussion. So I don't want to go down that road too much. But I mean, I'm holding Kane. You are too. I mean, to me, it's pretty cut and dry. I just don't think it's worth dropping him. And I mean, their fixtures aren't that bad going forward. I mean, they're they're, you know, they play away to Burnley in game week 19, which, you know, isn't a great fixture. I mean, no. Burnley are obviously, you know, really solid at home, but it is a Burnley team that's missing quite a few players right now. I mean, it looks like Tarkowski is going to be out. Stephen Ward might be out. Ben Mee, you know, just back from an injury. You know, Loughton is like, maybe he's back. I mean, he might have just lost his spot. I'm not really sure. I mean, Bardsley's been playing so well.
These Burnley defenders are utterly interchangeable. They're going to keep a clean sheet either way.
Yeah. They're home to Southampton after that. That's, you know, I mean, Southampton are pretty strong defensively, but they're not, you know, they're not unbeatable, certainly. And it is a home match. And,
they're very,
you know, Southampton
beatable.
Might actually try to score in that game.
I mean, Southampton looked utterly diabolical two game weeks ago against Leicester. Comported themselves a little better against Chelsea, but still
lost. And Arsenal, too. They played pretty well against Arsenal.
Yeah, but... what do you think still the chatter about playing one striker up top? So you're playing somebody like Kane by himself. It suddenly we now live in a world where one striker up top seems great so long as that one striker is Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Wayne Rooney or somebody like this. And
exactly.
And we could talk about benching Harry Kane only to unpack him when the double game week comes through. I think now the important discussion is, I think we agree to just bide your time with Kane, that double is too important, but we have to have a serious discussion about how well you're spending your money elsewhere in your team. Like, is your midfield, are you going to get goals from your midfield? Because if goals aren't coming from Kane, a 12.9, 12.8 striker, where else are they coming from? So I think you are going to keep Kane, but also... be smart about where your goals are coming from elsewhere on the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a really tricky... I mean, to expand the conversation a little bit, it's just a really tricky time for all the expensive forwards. I mean, yeah, I know, you know, Lukaku did pick up 8 points in the game week. I mean, he looked like Lukaku, though. He made a bunch of mistakes. He probably should have had a brace or a hat trick. I mean, he picked up one-headed goal and didn't celebrate. And I'm just like, I've like turned on him so much.
Mourinho didn't even celebrate. I've got these conspiracy things moving in my brain of, is something going on between the two of them?
I can't believe that he starts every single game. Like, I can't believe that he starts every Champions League game, every league game, and that just, he has never received a rest. I mean, I guess he doesn't need it.
He doesn't work on the field, so... So what does he need to rest for?
I guess that's true. Yeah, he never tracks back.
We were watching the Manchester United game, and at some point I was like, is Lukaku even on the field? Because they were breaking forward.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty easy guy to spot up front for United. And he's just like lumbering back from defending a corner, like no urgency of any kind.
Yeah. I think we can both agree that neither of us want a Man City forward, right?
No, yeah, I think that ship has long sailed, and the returns, now, I have to do a mea culpa. I think on the last episode of the podcast, I said something about David Silva not being exceptional because his goal output just wasn't to be relied upon, and then he went ahead and scored another brace, and, okay, yeah, obviously, Silva having a great season. Pretty decent FPL pick, if you've
got it.
Nobody
remembers what you said. You didn't have to apologize. Everyone forgot. So what
Aguero,
is going on with him, though? What is the deal? Like if this were American sports, there would be, like, a team of reporters who, like, figured out what was going on. And somehow, like,
Shoppers
in the UK, it's
flying
like,
over his house.
In the UK, it's just personal reasons, and that's fine. No one asks. It's amazing.
There seems to be a somewhat somber tone to all of it, like KDB's very purposeful holding up 21 for the camera after his goal. So if David Silva had a baby, or his partner had a baby, I'm sure everyone would be sort of dark about it. So one would guess that it's a death in the family of some kind.
One would guess or something. Yeah, something
it's really grotesque to it's grotesque to speculate about these things.
Exactly. I'm not trying to speculate. I'm just shocked that it hasn't come out. You know, it's been what 3 days now, and
you know, you really hope that it's been
like 30 hours, but still.
You do hope it's something that Silva and his family can deal with, and you know, it's something that Well, one also hopes that he can come back to the loving embrace of FPL managers, so we can help him through.
You did get visited by those three ghosts last night. I'm amazed. You're so soft on this podcast.
Hey, a green arrow will really do that to you.
That's true. I'm feeling a little more acidic.
We've got a question here from Foggy Football Sky FF, who asks about Chelsea assets, opinions on owning Hazard and Morata. Now, we both went into the game week captaining Hazard. I offloaded Morata for Firmino, and that paid off for me this game week. How are you feeling about both of these guys? I think we were both kind of hemming and hawing about Hazard during this game week, even though we captained him.
I'm not feeling great, obviously. I mean, I've had miserable. I mean, so, you know, I started with Azpilicueta, which was a total disaster. Didn't start, and then didn't get a clean sheet in two matches in a row. You know, I mean, Hazard has done nothing since I brought him in. I think he's got a total of 5 points. Morata didn't start one game, couldn't score against Swansea with a million chance. It's been like a complete disaster. So I don't feel good about it. I mean, I'm not planning to drop them. I mean, they play away to Everton. I mean, Everton's defense didn't look that impressive today. I know they've looked impressive the last couple of game weeks, but I have every faith that Chelsea will score a couple in that game. Then they play Brighton and Stoke back to back, and Stoke their defense is like the worst I've ever seen.
It's a joke. Like,
I know. I was trying to follow the strategy, and I was like, oh, you know what? I should just like see who Stoke are playing and captain like the team they're playing against. And then I was like, West Brom. I was like, that's not going to work. And then in game week 20, it's Huddersfield. And I'm like, that's not going to work either. Damn it.
You know,
but game week 21, they play away to Chelsea. That's the one.
We are not about body shaming on this podcast, but I can tell you, Kevin Wimmer has got the most bloated body in the entire Premier League right now. He came into the frame watching the Stoke game, and I couldn't recognize him. I was like, who's the dad that just got out of the pitch? He didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was playing for Spurs, but it's just all gone for him. It's just all gone to seed for poor Kevin Wimmer.
To answer the I totally agree. I would not be excited about owning Hazard right now. I would definitely spend my money on KDB or Philip Coutinho, right? I think you could definitely double up on those Liverpool mids, and just you might have to deal with some rotation, but so be it.
Both guys who just embodied the flame emoji this weekend. Both like working so bloody hard on the
pitch. Yeah, so maybe there's a little bit of what have you done for me lately there, but still, I mean, I think that those guys, I mean, KDB has been really consistent, especially the last, I don't know, 10 game weeks or so.
Yeah.
Morata, I actually feel better about despite his injury. I think that he's so aggressive, and I don't know. I just feels like he really is. He doesn't need much to score. Right. He's kind of like, I don't know. I'm trying to like, he's just such a great, he's really a natural striker in a lot of ways. He's got his headers are amazing, right? You get the ball anywhere near his head and he's going to, you know, put a ball in frame. So
I think you're right. If you look at all these strikers that we could talk about, I mean, anywhere from Lacazette to Lukaku to the City strikers, Morata appears right, and Harry Kane. Morata appears right now to be the most bloodthirsty of all of them. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, you take a guy like Lacazette, like pound for pound, he's probably just as good of a finisher, but he has not looked, like I said, bloodthirsty at all this season.
No, he's too inconsistent for his price. I mean, if Lacazette were 8.5 million, he'd be a great buy, but at 10.5, you're just not getting enough value for your money. Mark Edwards says, I need a replacement for Nias, but I can't afford DCL without taking a hit. Is it worth it?
No. Well, given that Everton is coming up against Chelsea, I don't think you want to be taking -4 to bring in a weedy striker who has been performing of late, but you can mead that out over two game weeks. You're not missing anything against Chelsea, I don't think.
I don't think there's a good cheap third striker worth burning four on right now.
No. Yeah, certainly not anyone in that price range. If you can't afford DCL, I mean, the other people that you'd throw into that basket would be
Meunier.
Like Meunier or Charlie Austin, who is even more expensive. Deportivo has become
not a consistent starter somehow still.
I think there's just a bit of rotation happening there.
Sure, sure.
It's kind of amateur hour over at Southampton these days. my favorite word this podcast, bloodthirsty, apparently. There is no bloodlust at Southampton.
But why would we have any faith that he's suddenly going to reel off 10 starts in a row? Like, he's not, you know. Yeah. Meunier maybe could, just because Huddersfield need every goal they can score, right?
Yeah, but Deportra is coming through for them, and Meunier still is not, you know, my favorite hair plugs in the entire league, as I mentioned before, on Deportra.
Yep.
But he looks like he still might be favored over Meunier right now for those goals.
Amy Foster says, I've got so much money locked up in Chelsea assets that aren't returning much. Azpilicueta, Hazard, Morata. Need to ditch one to spread the love. Who would you drop, or would you hold all and not worry? I think you could hold all and not worry. I think that of those three, I think that, you know, just based on what we've already talked about, I think that Hazard is the player that I would drop. And I would probably move him to, I guess if it were me and I were just, and I just needed to free up some cash, then Hazard to Coutinho is like an easy move. You save like something like 2.3 million or something like that.
Yep.
So,
I agree there. And just thinking about Azpilicueta, the only logical move there is the one that you just burned for this last game week for, is to move Azpilicueta to Christensen, because that saves you money. But it doesn't answer Amy's question of freeing her of Chelsea assets. So, I do tend to agree Hazard is the most disposable there. And there are definitely good options in that price range.
David Kelleher says, Kolasinac was the fourth highest scoring defender in the game, then randomly gets rested for back-to-back clean sheets and now is set to drop in price. The question is, hold out hope or get rid?
We talked about this before we started recording, and it's a curious one, like, what's going on there? It seems to be a change in formation going to a back four. Right. Wenger drops Kolasinac to the bench, but I just can't believe that Kolasinac can't fit into a back four, can't work like that. However, where we landed, right, Josh, is regardless of all of that, he's 6.2 million and he's a rotation threat every week at this point. You've got to get rid of him.
You absolutely have to get rid of him. I mean, or hope that Maitland-Niles gets injured or something. I don't know. I mean, Kolasinac is now a squad. I mean, credit to Wenger. I mean, it's worked out fine. I mean, you know, they haven't really been scoring that much, but they've kept back-to-back clean sheets. I mean, I guess if you wanted to tighten it up, then it has worked. But yeah, it's a total screw job if you're a Kolasinac owner. I mean, to miss out on back-to-back clean sheets is, I mean, you know, basically, you know, he's more expensive than Monreal, and you've just been kind of crushed the last 10 weeks.
Yeah.
When I say you, I mean me. I'm talking something about myself here.
Yeah, I am a Monreal owner. I mean, the heady days of Monreal scoring back-to-back goals are well in the rearview mirror at this point. But
he still shoots all the time. It's crazy. Like, he becomes such an aggressive player.
Yeah, looking at Arsenal's fixtures, it's hosting Liverpool this coming game week 19, then away to Palace and West Brom, two good fixtures, and then Chelsea in game week 22. Would you consider turning Kolasinac into another Arsenal defender like Monreal? Or do those Liverpool and Chelsea? Mustafi's
going to come back.
Yeah, sure. Do those fixtures put you off?
Sure. Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, Liverpool probably are going to score like three or four on them. And why wouldn't they, right? I mean, Liverpool love to play a team that is going to try to score themselves, right? That is just like, that is just the most beautiful thing for Liverpool, to play a team that actually is going to play them.
Yeah.
I'd say you
look at Manchester United defense, Phil Jones and Chris Smalling seem to be the focal points right now. Easy move to either of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Jones I'd be wary of. I mean, Phil Jones, Mourinho has not been playing him twice in a week all year, right? He didn't play in any of their Champions League matches. With four fixtures in the next 2 weeks, I find it hard to believe that he's going to start every one of them. Maybe he starts three out of four, and maybe you're fine. But I would definitely be a little wary of bringing in Jones. Just, he's got, like, outside of Vincent Kompany, he's just got the longest track record of injuries there is. So, I don't know. I think Smalling is a little more consistent. He's almost the same price, too. He's not that much more expensive.
All right, Dan Waite has a question. Zaha or Richarlison? And he's looking to swap one for Pogba at some point, but or even going into game week 19, but he can't decide which. So who do you like? I guess the question is, who do you like better between Zaha and Richarlison?
Well, why don't you answer this? I mean, as a Richarlison owner.
Yeah, it's been very frustrating to, as a Richarlison owner, to watch the very quick implosion of Marco Silva's project there. I mean, he's him turning down what we believe him to have turned down the Everton job seems like so long ago now.
Yeah, but maybe they turned him down. I'm not sure. That's
yeah. So since game week 13, Richarlison has only returned two assists. His last goal was against West Ham in game week 12. It's been very frustrating. However, they have tremendous fixtures coming up. Watford do for how out of form they are. They've got Brighton, Leicester, Swansea in the next three until they hit Man City in game week 22. Crystal Palace, and by comparison, it's Swansea, then Arsenal and Manchester City back to back. I have to say, if you have Richarlison and you're not negotiating Zaha, stick it out with Richarlison.
Yeah,
I don't think it's worth. I don't think it's worth taking a gamble on that. You probably have other fish to fry in your team. Zaha looks so good right now. He looks really hungry. Be very excited to see what he does against Swansea in game week 19. So that's a very tough decision. Long term, through the festive period, I guess I have to throw my hat in the ring for Richarlison. And maybe I'm being biased. Yeah. What do you think?
I think you're right. I mean, I can't imagine it lasts forever. I mean, there's some worrying talk from Silva about him being young and needing to rest more.
He was pulled off for a groin injury in game week 17, but he managed to start and play 90.
So he might, get rested at some point. I mean, you could say this about everybody, though. I would probably just stick with Richarlison. I mean, the Pogba love, I think it's just like people are just excited because it's like a new player.
Yeah.
It's just a way to mix things up a little bit. I mean.
Yeah, we've been moving toward a template for the last month, I think.
Yeah.
And Pogba is an exciting wild card.
It's fun. I mean, if you have, you know, I don't know, let's say Silva's out for a couple of weeks, right? I mean, Silva to Pogba is an easy move. I think I would just hold with Richarlison. Final question in this section, Brandon. Sean number one says, is dropping Salah an okay idea? He says, bear with me. You don't make any ground if he scores, and you actually often lose ground because he's so highly captained every week. Is there any point in having a player like that? An easy sub could be Coutinho and then use that extra cash elsewhere.
Well, Sean, let me put it this way. If you thought you were losing ground having Salah, imagine the ground you're losing not having Salah. So,
right. That's exactly right.
So just have him and it's fine.
I love that. I had a good stretch of 7 or 8 weeks where it was his ownership was still like in the 15, 20, 30, and every goal he scored was awesome. And then like 2 weeks ago, like everybody was in. And now I was actively rooting against him scoring in the Bournemouth game, despite having him in my squad.
It's very maverick thinking to say, okay, Salah to Coutinho, and that's how I'm going to make up my ground in the like top 1,000. But you're relying on this crazy likelihood that Salah, the most informed player in all of Europe, probably right now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think Sean's looking at this the wrong way. I mean, the answer here is that you should just be captaining Salah more.
Yes, perfect.
Are you thinking about captaining him away to Arsenal on Friday?
Let's see. What's my bus team look like right now? Pull up Brandon's bus team, and my armband is on. Oh, look at that. It's on Kevin De Bruyne, which that is a flight of fancy there.
mine's on Raheem Sterling right now.
Yeah.
Same idea as you. But I might end up captaining Salah. I mean, why not, right? Like,
sure.
Is there any way he's not going to score on Arsenal?
Yeah, and I'm looking at my back. I mean, you have your own issues in your back line right now. I have two Burnley defenders both going up against Spurs. That clean sheet. Okay, maybe I got two.
Yeah, you're going to lose Tarkowski, though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's save that for our game week preview.
Should
we take a quick break? We're going to come back and do some more questions, lightning round style, and then do a game week preview.
You got it.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
Josh, quick word about Starting 11. It's the daily fantasy app available for your iPhone or Android. Just go to starting11.io. That's starting11.io. Josh, Christmas is upon us. The holidays. You might not celebrate Christmas, maybe something else. But you're probably going to be around family. Okay?
Right.
So yes, you've got family true. Who are football fans. They're Premier League fans, but they don't play FPL. What do you talk about while you're watching the game? You can't talk about your FPL team. Dad doesn't have one. But Dad right. probably has a smartphone. Download the Starting 11 app. Suddenly you're playing a fantasy game with your family. You're having fun. You're yucking it up, and you're really enjoying watching these games, making live substitutions within the
app.
That's
true. You should do this with your dad, Brandon. Explain to him what Boxing Day is and why you're getting up at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, perhaps a different situation altogether with my father, Josh. But the point stands. So it's a fun thing to download. You can sort of like plug and play with your friends. We are playing with listeners. You listeners of Always Cheating, Josh and I are accepting head-to-head challenges. Just hit us up with a direct message on Twitter or Facebook, or email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com. Josh, did you have any head-to-heads this weekend with cheaters?
I had a few head-to-heads. Over the two fixtures, and I played
the two match flights.
A couple match flights. I played AM Saturday in Rusev, and I'm forgetting everybody I played now. So apologies to everybody I played who I'm forgetting about right now. But I won 3 out of 4, and especially in the midweek last week when I was having a really, really miserable game week with Ward subbed off and Kolasinac not starting, and it was just everything kind of went wrong. I got a late Aguero goal, which allowed me to win 3 out of my 4 matches. So Starting 11 in some ways actually kind of saved my
your sanity.
Saved me from having a very miserable game week. So yeah, starting11.io is where you can learn more about the app. It's available on iOS and Android. We have a podcast interview with co-founder Thomas Braun that you can find on iTunes or on our SoundCloud page. And if you want to challenge us, message us on Twitter, Facebook, email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. And take us on. This is the last podcast. I think we're going to record until the 27th. And so there's about 1,800 different games that take place in the next 9 days. So if you want to challenge us, I'm around, and I'd love to take you on.
I am looking forward to Boxing Day. Like, you can play Starting 11 any day where there are at least two Premier League matches going on. Boxing Day, everyone's playing. It's going to be bananas.
That's true.
Looking forward to
that
it.
That will be bananas. Brandon, we're into the lightning round.
Woo!
Woo-hoo.
That was the lightning sound. Pew-pew.
All right, so lightning round, the rules, in case anybody forgot. No question gets more than a 30-second response. Eric Medbo, let's go, says, could you do another third striker roundup? I'm so annoyed with Vardy. Wondering which way to go. Rooney, Firmino, Austin, DCL. Let's just make this easy, Brennan. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, 5.4 million, 3 goals, 6 assists. Gives you money for your midfield. There's no one else you really want in that. The expensive three-way forward rotation is not working.
It's
right
over.
Now.
It's done. Yeah. Save money here. I don't see Wayne Rooney like keeping this up, given his agedness.
It's and mostly penalties anyway.
If there was any doubt about Calvert-Lewin's place in the starting 11, they played so many games in a compact schedule, and he's started everyone under Sam Allardyce, and he's performing. He's got that spot locked down, I think, and his value is only going to be skyrocketing from here on out.
Yep. Shane Deer says, what would your top 5 midfielders be? No price restrictions. Now, obviously, we could spend 20 minutes on this. Instead, I'm just going to say KDB, Sterling, Salah, Coutinho, and my wild card is Alexis Sanchez.
Wow. Okay. So the only person missing here is Christian Eriksen or Sané?
Or Hazard?
Mahrez?
Nope.
De Bruyne is coming good in such an interesting way, but Sterling, the goals are there. Like, what an incredible route to goals. I agree with you. Well, David Silva? Yeah, this is a ridiculous question. They're all
good. It's a waiter. Let's save this for like a Patreon podcast or something where we can go on for like 40 minutes on this. Mike DePietro, the winner. Brennan, he wins the league, he wins the Survivor League, and then he comes back with a question. Clearly doesn't need our help.
No, Brennan, he's got all the help he needs in his own brain.
But Mike says, should the Kanka be brought back again to be paired with Kane? I'm thinking he should be transferred in when they have stretches against lower-level teams. He's notorious for only scoring against lesser opponents. We all know that to be true.
Yeah, you could.
And I think that would be fine. I think if you didn't have problems elsewhere, it's hard for me to even, like, imagine a scenario where I had so few problems. with all the things that have, like, the injuries have happened to my squad, where I could do this. But, yeah, I mean, if you had Murata and Murata Lukaku, I think that's fine. I mean, especially if you haven't built up too much value in him. I mean, Murata, you know, it's kind of hard for me to transfer out because I think I got him at, like, 10.2 or something, you know, and he got up to 10.7. And I just, you know, so I guess what I would sell him at 8.4 or 10.4 or something like that. I'd lose 0.3. And then if I want to bring him back, it's just
it's dicey.
Kind of a mess.
Yeah, it's dicey. Yeah, but you look at United's fixtures coming up. Leicester, their defense is a little shaky. Burnley, Southampton, Everton. It looks good. Yeah, I mean, I think Lukaku's time is, in our minds, is coming back. So I like
that. Yeah, I think that's fine. I won't be doing it, but I understand the rationale. Stieg Hagen says, when Benteke is done with his suspension, could he play alongside Kane on top as a second striker?
Pass. I do not, I do not want to answer Stieg's question. Please do not bring Benteke into your team, Stieg. Don't do it.
Just don't do it. He has led the attack for some of the most toothless offenses in the history of the Premier League. Lest we forget what happened on Aston Villa a few years ago.
He scored a goal over the weekend, but it was like it's his only goal
not,
all
let's
season.
Let's not give him. He's let's not give so Benteke bad. The satisfaction, he's Brandon.
Okay, you said my name in the streets.
sorry, Steak. Adam P says, if you had to permanently captain one player until the end of the season, who would it be?
Well, we talked about this just like 10 minutes ago. Mo Salah. I think that's he's nice the most consistent performer, and there you go. I mean, Raheem Sterling might be an interesting competitor in that regard, but Harry Kane he's fallen out of that favor.
Harbuzi1 says, is it worth getting Pogba straight back in, even for a hit? Also, Vardy to Rooney, would you?
No on the Pogba. I like the idea of getting
not
Pogba.
Not for a hit.
Not for a hit, yeah. I like Pogba as a... as a player and as an FPL asset this season, but no, I'm not taking a hit for him. This is a more interesting question. Vardy to just wait on Pogba if you need to take a hit. Also, Vardy to Rooney. That I don't know about that one. Vardy is the system that Puel is playing at Leicester seems to basically X Vardy out of the equation. So you see guys like Mahrez come to the fore. So it makes me very hesitant with Vardy.
But it was so weird, Rooney. I mean, ended up on, you know, with two assists and a, I mean, one of the assists was on a missed penalty, but still. Two assists and a goal, three bonus points. I thought he looked awful, like, the whole game. I'll give him a little credit for a couple things. I mean, he had the pass that led to Aaron Lennon getting fouled in the box. I mean, the assist for the Gylfi Sigurdsson goal was literally just like him going down, sort of like, it wasn't like this like amazing assist. He literally just passed the ball to him as they were like going down. Sure. And Gylfi took like eight steps and scored.
Yeah.
And then the penalty, I mean, I don't know how much credit he gets for that. He wasn't the one who was fouled. But, you know, I mean,
results
really
are results.
Results are results. He's been really involved. So. Yeah, I guess I'd probably do that. I think that would be fine.
It's worth a punt. I mean, our friend Gavin
Doyle.
Yeah, you'd
save a little money, too.
Our friend Gavin Doyle, who we met up with this weekend, actually put the armband on Wayne Rooney. And we
roller coaster emotions there with that missed penalty.
Yeah, absolutely. It panned out for him. So well done, Gavin. All right, last question from the lightning round comes from Dave from Burnley. All the way from Proudsville, Dave is writing us. No Ran, but how many double game week players for 22 is advisable? So we're looking at West Ham and Tottenham for game week 22. Harry right. Kane is an obvious choice there. West Ham, would you get more than one West Ham player?
No, and I may not get any at all. I mean, the problem is it just comes so fast, and you know, I just depends on how like what my team looks like. If I were able to not burn a transfer between game week 20 and 21, and I could hold on to two going into game week 22, then I would probably, you know, just burn four, make three transfers, bring in two Spurs and one West Ham player. I'm not sure who that West Ham player would be. It might be someone like Masuaka, you know, super cheap and kind of attacking. And because one of those games is a West Brom game, so they definitely could keep a clean sheet in one of those games. But I also would be okay if I didn't have any West Ham players.
Yeah, worth noting here, too, this is not like late-breaking news, but Manuel Lanzini is going to be serving a suspension for deceiving the referee on the penalty. So I guess that means he'll be back for game week 22 if that's a three-match ban. Yeah.
I think it's two, but this is so dumb. Like, do we want to live this way? This is like the NFL now, where it's like everything gets like just... Everything gets viewed on videotape later and dissected. And
well, this I would say
I don't know. This is just it's never going to end. Like they're not going to put a stop to it. I don't know.
Well, I guess that's the hope, is that putting it under this lens actually curtails diving, and then they don't have to actually mete out these punishments because it won't be in the game anymore. I mean, in NFL, yeah, they're looking at was he inbounds or out of bounds, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know, but it just feels like the same. It's like this idea that like you're going to have this perfect game where everyone plays cleanly and no one tries to deceive anybody, and you know, like it's never going to stop. People are going to always feel contact and go down the box, and I don't know. I guess this makes me old school. I mean, it's just like I just don't really care.
Wow, you're like Lee Dixon over here. Back when I played, real man.
Well, it's just like I don't really care. Like he effectively deceived the referee. Like that's. It doesn't happen that often, and I don't think it, like, ruins the integrity of the game. And, you know, like, he won. Like, he tricked him, you know?
Right.
And it just doesn't, like, I don't think, like, the league is
in
dire straits because of it. Yeah, it's like, I want justice, you know? Just who cares?
Oh, okay, so we've totally passed over we've exceeded the rule-mandated 30 seconds for this. However, we glossed over the more interesting part of this question, which was how many Spurs players do you like for... relatively tantalizing doubleheader of Swansea and West Ham for Spurs game right. 22. So Harry Kane, do you want to stack it and do Vertonghen, Eriksen, Kane?
That I guess would be kind of the templatey one, right? That one does make a lot of sense. I don't think you want either of the wing backs, yeah, right? So then you're looking at Davinson Sanchez or Vertonghen. Yeah, I think that just, you know, I mean, Hazard is going to have to go, you know, you could go like, I don't think I'm going to have, I think Hazard will be moved for, because they're away to Arsenal anyway. So Hazard gets moved for,
Eriksen,
either Ali or Eriksen. I mean, Eriksen is the clear favorite there, but Ali, if you want to be different, right?
if you want to be poor about it.
and then I guess with the money freed up, you could, in theory, move someone like Loftus-Cheek into like a Harry Winks or something like that. Or I guess if you had enough money, Son. You could move. Yeah, you could move. Yeah, I don't know how I would be able to bring Son in with my current setup, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Someone like, I mean, Richarlison to Son would make sense.
Yeah, a free hit. What about a free hit?
Well, I just wouldn't want to do it just to get two extra. I mean, I'm only looking to bring in two Spurs anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right there. If you're just looking to play two extra players, free hit is when you just want to totally scramble your team entirely. All right, that does it for the lightning round, Josh. Let's transition into game week 19. We'll do a little preview here for you.
Game week 19 starts on Friday. Always does damage to our stats, so I love that. Arsenal play Liverpool. Looking forward to this game. I am officially off work as of Friday for a week and change, so I am very much looking forward to this Arsenal match, and I am, in fact, going to watch The Last Jedi a second time at 11:45 a.m. that day.
Wow, you're such a nerd.
I really am. Well, my wife hasn't seen it yet, so we have to like work it out around like daycare. But okay, if you're listening to this podcast and you want Brandon and I to do if you're a Patreon supporter and you want Brandon and I to do a Patreon podcast where we just talk about our thoughts about The Last Jedi, I could easily fill an hour of conversation about this. So if that interests you, let us know. We will record that podcast.
This will be like our good friend Richard Orford, who he now has a dedicated FPL Twitter feed, but his Richard Orford Twitter, there's actually some snappy short movie reviews that are worth checking out there.
That's
That's true. So we can join Richard in sort of transitioning from football into movie reviewing.
Yeah, how'd you guys become full-time movie reviewers? Well, we had this fantasy podcast, and then we did this Last Jedi.
And now I write for the New York Times.
Right, exactly. So game week 19 starts on Friday. Arsenal-Liverpool. I think Liverpool are going to win this game. I'm not even sure I think it's going to be that close, to be honest. I think Liverpool win like 3-1 or something like that.
Yeah.
With a Monreal goal.
I'll take it. I'm less convinced. I think Arsenal have been a little hot and cold, but I think they're better than that, particularly playing at the Emirates. They have a terrific record. I mean, not against opponents the caliber of Liverpool, but I do think it's going to be tighter than that. I think it'll be a 2-1 game, and it's a coin toss whether it goes Arsenal or Liverpool's favorite.
Maybe I'm just thinking of that 4-3 game from the start of last season. I think that's the last time they played at the Emirates. Got a lot of really good matches on Saturday. I'm looking forward to this. My parents are actually flying in, but they don't fly in until later in the day. I don't know. I'm revealing all this personal stuff.
That's basically a window into your iCal.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Everton Chelsea is the early match on Saturday, and then Man City Bournemouth, which should be huge from a fantasy perspective. I maybe will have two players in this game if I bring in Otamendi.
We have the Stephen Fletcher Derby, Stoke City versus West Brom. That's going to be a real barn burner.
Yeah. It's a Flarby, it's called.
Flarby. Hashtag Flarby. Swansea Palace is a really captivating bottom-of-the-table matchup here. Swansea just... Is that even captivating? It's like, Swansea's just done. It's over.
Well, I'm kind of rooting for Crystal Palace now. Like, do you find yourself pulling for them a little bit, too? They're kind of a fun team in a way. And
except for Benteke. He's not very fun.
Except for Benteke, who none of us can stand. but I like Roy Hodgson, I kind of like. And, you know, like he knows his limit, right? Like, but he's perfect at a place like Palace. And I like Zaha. I mean, I you have to live with his mistakes. And yeah, how about Saka with that like late? He kind of ripped it right at the end of that game.
He did. One of the more perfectly placed shots you'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I as a Loftus Cheek owner, I was like, come on, just put that in yourself, man. But it worked out fine.
What about this Burnley Spurs matchup? Can we get a hard prediction here on how Spurs perform? Is this going to be nil-nil? Or?
Yeah, it's a real test of their of what's going on with that squad right now. You know, I mean, this is not an easy game at all. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not like Burnley's set up to be super attacking at home anyway, so they're going to have some of the same problems they've had at home at Wembley this season. I think this is going to be a really tough match for them. I think they could win, but I think it's like maybe it's a 1-0 game or a 2-1 match or something like that. I don't think it's super attacking.
You have an option to either captain Harry Kane or captain Romelu Lukaku. Who do you choose this game week?
I would captain Lukaku.
Yeah, against Leicester away.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Any
Leicester defense has been bad so far.
Guaranteed clean sheets this weekend. What do you think Chelsea's clean sheet odds here are against Everton away?
I don't know. I mean, in Everton's form, I don't think they're great. Where do I see clean sheets here? Man City, I see a clean sheet there. Southampton probably. West Ham, right? Their defense has looked really good the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I might be playing Shane Duffy in my starting 11 this weekend against Richarlison, mostly because I won't have any better options, but I'll be interested to see how Watford bounce back from their humiliation this week. We were talking about all the red cards affecting just the immediate result for Watford, but it's a knock-on effect. Like, they're losing all their starters to these ridiculous red card suspensions.
It's amazing. I know, exactly. So it's, yeah, that team is a complete mess right now. All right, Brandon, that's your holidays, man. We'll be back on the 27th. So I think that is, Christmas is on Monday. That's a Wednesday night. We're going to record our next episode. So we'll miss like half a game. We'll miss two game weeks after that. So just as a heads up there. So good luck, everybody. Merry Christmas. Yeah. And thank you, you know, as always, for listening. Really appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with all the Patreon, monthly plugs that we've done.
The December pledge drive.
The last couple of weeks. It's our pledge drive, exactly. So that'll stop in January. So, yep, good luck and Merry Christmas.
All right, follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, Patreon.com/AlwaysCheating. See you, Josh. Have a happy holiday.
You too, Brennan. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.